This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're celebrating the public radio party by the topic of landlord-tenant laws and issues. My guests are Mark Seidenfeld, a real estate attorney who represents landlords and tenants and has offices in San Bruno, and Charles Collins, who's new to this program and I hope to have with us again. He's an attorney who represents also landlords and tenants, has offices in San Francisco. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar and the Family Law Section of the State Bar. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us.
A pleasure as always.
It's great to have you here. There are a couple of things before we take any calls from the listeners on the air. I would like to ask you to talk a little bit about the recent law with some changes regarding Ellis evictions in San Francisco. This applies only in San Francisco, I believe.
Yes.
So what's the story, Mark?
Well, this is brand new, yeah. And I'm not sure I have all the details right, but my understanding is right now, when a tenant is Ellis'd out of a building, the landlord is required to pay a relocation expense, which is roughly $5,200 or $5,300 per person. And there's additional fees that have to be paid if the person is disabled or has lived there a certain number of years, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. The change is in the amount that's going to have to be paid. The city passed a law just recently, I believe, where there's going to be a board or a commission set up, and they will decide what the fair market value will be, and then the difference between what's actually being paid and the fair market value, and then they're going to multiply that by 24 for 24 months, and that's the amount that is going to have to be paid to the tenant when they're being compelled to leave.
Can you give us an estimate of what this may mean? Roughly, Charles, can you? I mean, give us an idea of what this is.
Well, I mean, as far as monetary value,
can you give us a figure?
Well, if you have someone who has been living in their rent-controlled apartment for 20, 30 years, and they're paying $900 a month rent, that same unit today, because of all the pressures on the rental market over the years and the rising of rents in general, that same unit may be worth, depends on where it is, of course, but a lot of units, like a one-bedroom, will go for $1,500, $1,800, many places more than that. Yeah, in some places, it's very desirable, $2,500. And so you have a differential here of, you know, let's just say for the sake of argument, $900 versus $1,800.
Yes.
You know, twice the the differential between what the tenant pays and what the fair market value of the unit is. When you multiply that by 24, you're coming up with an appreciable amount of money.
You're coming up with somewhere in the neighborhood of a little over $20,000.
Yes.
Are you not?
Yes.
But That's what it sounds like.
I think it would be considerably more because a lot of units have been under rent control for many years.
Yes.
And the tenants are paying very low rent.
Wow.
So a $900 unit, the fair market value might be $4,000, depending on what neighborhood it's in.
I see.
It could be a huge
amount.
So
that could be a lot more money. What was the incentive to do this, Charles? Why? I know you were not, I don't believe, you were not involved with the change of this law. But what is the incentive?
Well, I've been monitoring this situation for a while, and what has happened is that in recent years, the number of Ellis evictions, Ellis Act evictions in San Francisco has risen dramatically. And part of the reason is, of course, because of the great demand for housing in San Francisco now. Mm-hmm. The property values have risen tremendously. And some people say because of the influence of tech people in San Francisco that has put a lot of pressure, upward pressure, on the values of property and also the values of rentals. People can see that the foreseeable future, that the pressure is only going to increase more and more. And this has caused a lot of speculation in the sale of property. And to people who will Ellis Act their long-term, low-paying, low-rent-paying tenants, take over the building and make a profit on it. And especially since the former amounts paid to people who are Ellis Act is so low compared to the potential profit to be made, you know, the natural tendency now would be just that these things will accelerate in the coming years. And part of the problem also has been the human part of it, the human tragedy.
Well, pushing people out of their homes.
Especially the elderly and the disabled. Many elderly and disabled people have been dispossessed.
That's
going to
be really tough. Are you saying that perhaps one of the theories or one of the purposes of doing this was to try to slow down Ellis evictions, Ellis Act evictions, by having this new law, which apparently is effective as of now, is it?
I think it's effective in June.
In June of this year?
I think
so. Okay. So in other words, if someone maybe who's going to get an Ellis Act eviction notice and has been paying, as you said, Charles, $900 a month, and let's say the going rate, the fair market rate for that is $1,800 or more. That person, if the owner of the building gives them an Ellis Act eviction, will end up getting somewhere in the neighborhood of at least $20,000+ to leave. Yeah. Obviously, that person is most likely not going to be able to stay in San Francisco because of all of the high rents. They're going to have to move somewhere else.
Yeah, likely.
I agree with Mark. The actual amounts will probably be a great deal higher in many long term. Maybe they'll get
so it could be closer 40,000. To 30 or 40,000.
Yeah, there are a lot of long term tenants paying very low rents in San Francisco.
Really?
Yeah.
Really incredible. All right, one more thing before I want to give the local phone number for people to call in and talk with you. I understand that there has been some problem, Mark, that you mentioned to me, some problem about management or landlords without giving adequate notice to tenants to actually want to come into the unit to take a look at this or that in a non-emergency situation. What's going on here?
I had a case that arose just this past week of a property that is for sale, and the agent, the realtor, decided she wanted to go in and take photocopies of all the interiors of the units so she could show them to people.
And
she entered a unit, apparently, without the tenant's knowledge or consent. This is against the law.
Against the law?
It's absolutely.
What is the notice? How much notice do you have to give?
You have to give at least 24 hours advance written notice, and you have to have a proper purpose for entering. It can't simply be to inspect. It has to be for repairs or for an emergency, something that's agreed to by the tenant. You can't just decide, I want to go in and take pictures.
In. Okay. Yeah. All right. This is our special Call a Lawyer night, landlord-tenant issues only. We have three great landlord-tenant attorneys with us, Sal Timpano, Tad Devlin, and Jessica Chilek. That number, by the way, is 1-800-525-9917. If you have a question for off the air for our landlord-tenant attorneys, it's a special mini Call a Lawyer night, landlord-tenant issues only. So if you've got a problem, whether you're a landlord or a tenant, 1-800-525-9917. If you'd like to talk to my guests on the air, it's 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a special program in celebrating the public radio party at KALW of landlord-tenant laws and issues. If you've tuned in the last couple of minutes, my guests are landlord-tenant attorneys Mark Seidenfeld and Charles Collins. They both represent both landlords and attorneys, not in the same case.
Definitely not, no.
Not in the same case. And so That is something that I hope you all will remember when you retain an attorney. You don't want your attorney also representing the other person. All right. So what is being done to correct the situation with landlords or management of apartment buildings or whatever being aggressive and not complying with the law? What is the sanction, Mark, for something, for violating the law?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, in theory, a tenant could sue for trespass, invasion of privacy, and probably all sorts of other things. But the reality, of course, is that typically people don't do that sort of thing. What amazed me in this case was a realtor in San Francisco who was not aware of the law.
I'm astounded at that.
It makes me wonder how somebody could be a realtor in San Francisco and not be aware of that.
Yeah.
So
Do you think that was true? Do you think the realtor really
was being
on? Okay, all right.
No idea.
What about one more thing, Charles, before we take our first call? You also are concerned about in-law units and the illegality of them. Talk about that very briefly, if you would.
Well, for a long time, you know, actually, for many, many years, there's been a problem with the fact that there are many thousands of in-law units in San Francisco, and they're also illegal. They were built without permits and, you know, maybe not up to standard, et cetera. And the city, cognizant of the fact that it needs to preserve housing and not eliminate housing, wants very much to have all these or most of these units, as many as possible, brought up to code and standard and become legalized. And I believe that they are going through trying to make it easier for landlords to do that.
Let me ask you this then. In that most in-law units are illegal, they're not in compliance with the codes. If the building department or whatever the appropriate department is in San Francisco gives notice to the owner of this building that your unit is illegal, you're going to have to upgrade it to comply with the law. What protection is there for the tenant in that unit from the landlord just giving that tenant notice, get out, I don't want you here anymore, I'm not going to rent this any longer?
Well, that depends. I mean, if they're not going to do anything with the unit to make it legal or bring it up to code, then essentially the building department will probably tell them they have to remove it.
They have to. Okay.
And they have to give an eviction to the tenant, a no-fault eviction.
I don't believe that most of these units can be legalized.
Really?
Yeah. I think the city's going to try and make it easier, but I really don't think it's going to
work. Is that because they're so way out of code?
There are things like people put a wall up in a garage and add a room behind it. No kitchen, no bath sometimes, things like that.
Wow.
A lot of them are, you know, bigger than that and have facilities, but many, many of them do not. And I don't think they're going to be legalized easily.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, let's take our first call. Let's see. We've got John. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi. So I have a question. I'm a landlord of a rental property in San Francisco, and I currently have a one-year lease with a tenant, and it's not rent control. I wanted to see what are my options to terminate the lease.
Why? I'm sorry. Why do you want to terminate the lease, John?
Oh, I'm just thinking to move back into the property.
You want to move back into the property, and this is correct. In San Francisco?
Correct.
And how long is the tenant? How many more months does the tenant have on the one-year lease?
Probably like 6 months or so.
6 months left, and you are the landlord. You want to move in there and live there yourself?
Correct.
Is this a single-family residence or what?
It's a condo.
It's a condo. Okay. Yeah. Well, let me tell you this, John. My guests cannot give specific legal advice on this radio program because that's in violation of the state bar's ethics rules. But what we try to do is give someone some direction of where they go, where they need to go. Are you a landlord only of one unit, or do you have other units?
Just one.
Okay. And are you renting somewhere else yourself?
Correct.
Okay. All right. If you'll turn your radio back up, I'll see if my guest can give you some direction, okay?
Okay.
Okay, John. Take care. Thanks very much for calling. What comments do you have for John, Mark?
John, it is possible to do that. There is a just cause for eviction, an owner move-in. There are very technical requirements. You will have to pay relocation expenses to the tenant.
Of how much?
Well, the figure right now is roughly $5,200 or $5,300.
Oh, there you go, John.
But in addition, if the tenant has been there more than a certain period of time or is disabled or elderly, there could be another $3,000 or $4,000. That $5,200 is for each person residing in it, even a newborn baby. It's not just for one person.
With what John has in mind, would this be essentially an Ellis eviction?
No.
Oh, it is not?
This is not. This is simply a landlord move-in. It's a single unit. He doesn't own any other units. Mm-hmm. It's very doable.
This, though, the $5,200, $5,300 money you're talking about is under San Francisco ordinances? Is that
yes,
it?
Yes, this is a San Francisco.
This is not a state law.
No, no, this is part of the San Francisco rent ordinance.
Okay, all right. Well, there you go, John.
Well, but there's a major question.
Go ahead, Charles.
Is this, in fact, a rent-controlled unit?
That's true. We're assuming it is a rent-controlled unit. If it was built, first occupied before June of 1979, then it's covered by rent control. If it was built after that, which is very possible, there have been so many new condos put up in the city, it may not be covered by rent control, in which case, at the end of the lease, you could simply serve a notice without cause.
Yeah, but he wants to get in there now. 6 months
well,
left.
Well, he can't get in there now if the tenant has a one-year lease. It's got 6 months to go. The lease is valid.
The lease is valid.
Right. When the lease expires and it becomes a month-to-month tenancy, he could then serve a notice.
Now, I'm a little confused. If this is covered by rent control, can he give this person notice to leave or not?
He can, but not now.
Oh, I see.
In other words, he's entered into a lease. The tenant has a right to live there for that year. At the end of the year, he could serve a notice saying, I want to do a landlord move-in, and here's your money, and move out.
But you had said just a couple of minutes ago, and I'm sorry, since I'm confused, other people may be. Since this is the owner, John's the owner of this unit, you had said something to the effect, because he's the owner, yes, he can give him notice.
Not during the tenancy of...
Not during
words,
the one
not
year.
During the rental agreement.
Gotcha.
Right.
All right. So, John, you're out of luck.
For now.
For now.
Right. But in 6 months from now, a month beforehand, you want to go talk to a lawyer who might be able to help you with it.
Now, there's something I want to emphasize, and it's because it's a point that people should keep in mind. This is a single unit.
Yes.
Okay. It's not rent control, but it's eviction controlled. It comes under the eviction controls. If it was... you know, built before 1979. Now, after 79, it's just regular state law applies.
Okay.
Right? And so there's no owner move-in type of...
There is know, no?
No. Okay. Now if it's not under eviction control.
All right.
Okay.
You know, John, what you need to do also to really give yourself a better education in this... you might want to take a look at, and I'm going to talk about this a little later in the program, California's Tenants' Rights, the book by Nolo. You may also want to call the San Francisco Lawyer Referral Service, make an appointment to meet with an attorney who represents landlords in matters. I think in light of the fact that you have rented this condo, and it sounds like maybe you're going to get involved with being a landlord in the future, I think at this point it would be good for you to try to educate yourself as best you can in terms of what your rights and, frankly, what your obligations are. All right, it's our mini Call a Lawyer night for landlord-tenant issues only. We have three outstanding landlord-tenant attorneys who are ready, willing, and waiting for you. 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917 if you have questions, landlord-tenant questions off the air. Again, if you'd like to talk to my guests on the air, 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a special public radio party program on landlord-tenant laws and issues. My guests are landlord-tenant attorneys Mark Seidenfeld and Charles Collins, and we've got John number two. John, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
So I have kind of a unique and a little bit complex situation.
Wait a minute. We don't have that much time, John.
I'll try to boil it down.
Good.
Okay, I have a master lease on a building in San Francisco, and I've had this lease for 28 years. I have 2 years left on the lease. I wrote the lease myself. I'm not a lawyer, but I wrote the lease, and it's a live-work lease. And I've lived there and I've worked there and I run a business there and I sublease out part of the space and all that stuff is allowed in the lease.
Yeah.
So I have 2 years left on the lease. The property, the space that I'm in is not necessarily, was never properly permitted for living, although live work is allowed in the area. But now the area has now been completely gentrified. It's a whole warehouse space and I'm completely surrounded by condos right now. And the building is worth a million times more torn down than something new built. But
of course.
Anyway, so I have 2 years left on my lease, but I've lived there for a long time. Landlord knows I've lived there. It's a live-work lease. So I'm wondering if I might be, you know, if that might, because I've lived there and they know I've lived there, and it's a live-work lease, if how that would, might that be considered a rent control, or how might something...
Okay, like very good. Very good. Very interesting question, John. If you'll turn your radio back up and hang up and turn your radio back up, we'll see if we can get some comments for you about this. Obviously, fascinating stuff. Do you want to start, Mark? You're pointing to Charles.
Sure.
Charles is pointing to you.
Live-work is a complicated thing. It is covered by rent control. That's mm-hmm. my understanding.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Okay.
And if you've been there 28 years, I assume the building, if it's an old warehouse, is covered by rent control. It was built before 1979.
Yeah.
And therefore, your landlord would need just cause to evict you. And obviously, there are two kinds of eviction. One is for cause. In other words, you're not paying your rent, or you're doing something illegal or creating a nuisance. And the other kind is a non-fault eviction, such as a landlord move-in or an Ellis Act eviction where the landlord is emptying the entire building. Given the fact that you're in a gentrifying neighborhood surrounded by condos, maybe the landlord would want to sell the building and tear it down and
The landlord, as you understand this at this point, would have the legal right to give John an Ellis Act eviction?
A landlord can always Ellis Act. I mean, it's
even though this may be covered by rent control.
Well, yes, Ellis Act is legal under rent control.
Okay, all right.
The problem here is that there is a lease which has another couple of years to go.
Yeah.
He can't do that now.
All right.
The only grounds he would have for evicting now would be if there was just cause to evict.
Sure. Okay, well, continue to pay your rent, John, on that. But at this point, what you're saying, and obviously this property on which this old barn or
warehouse
is located is probably worth an enormous amount of money.
Yeah.
So the landlord is really very anxious.
Maybe,
John, you can work a deal with the landlord where you can get a decent amount of money to leave. You know, maybe that's the approach to take.
There are lots of landlords who buy tenants out, tenants are happy to take the money.
That may be the thing, John. You might want to look into that. And I also would recommend to you, you probably want to meet with a landlord-tenant attorney, probably a tenant's attorney, to discuss what your rights may be and help you in figuring out how you'd like to deal with this. All right, we've got Lydia. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi.
Lydia,
turn off my radio.
Turn down your radio, please.
Yeah, I got it. My bad.
Okay.
My question is actually very similar to the last guy. I moved into a warehouse in March with a year lease to start a music school, and it was one of those things where when I moved in, I was very clear about wanting to set down roots and be there for a minute, and they informed me that while, yes, the building was slotted to get demoed, it would probably be 3 to 5 years. And so I went ahead and I signed the lease thinking that I would at least be able to recoup my investment back. Then after being there for a while, I realized some of the tenants that I was signing on were also looking for more stability. So I requested a lease amendment. Which they granted. They wrote up a whole lease amendment, and I asked, do I need to come in and sign this in person? And they said, no, just give it back to us, and then, we'll be good. And so this was in October, and now they want to gentrify the building and bulldoze it. And there were three other tenants that moved in at the same time as me who... all got longer leases.
Lydia, we are running out of time with respect to the statewide version.
Right.
Stop. Lydia, stop for a moment, please.
Sorry.
We'll come back to you after we have a break. But what I'd like to do is, with what you've said so far, you have many, many, many issues here that we can't deal with and solve on this program. But let me get my guests Lydia, I want you to stop talking, please. We'll get back to you after we take a break. So just, I want to get comments very briefly from one of my guests here, and we'll get back to you after we take a break. Charles, did you have a comment for her?
Well, I don't generally deal with these particular types of situations, and so I'd rather not say anything because I want it to be accurate.
Yeah. You know, Lydia, you have a lot of problems. We're going to take a break because we've come to the end of the statewide version of the program. So stay with us, and I'll give you some direction on this. All right. This is your Legal Rights. It's about 7:28 or 7:27 and a half. At 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. For you, Lydia, I think your best bet at this point, since you have many, many issues, is to call and speak to one of our Call a Lawyer lawyers at 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. I also think what would be wise for you, frankly, with all of the issues you have, to contact the San Francisco Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service, and I'll give you that phone number. You need to sit down with an attorney, and before that, write out all of your questions so that when you meet with an attorney, you can give that attorney kind of a nice little analysis of what your concerns and questions are. Let me give you the phone number for the Lawyer Referral Service for San Francisco Bar Association, 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. All right, we're going to take a very brief break here. If this program has helped you in any way to either avoid problems, legal problems, or doing self-help, or finding a way to resolve a problem, I'd like you, if you are not yet a contributor to KLW, which I consider to be a very, very valuable asset for this community, I'm a great believer, I hope you've heard me say this before, in non-commercial public radio. That's exactly what this is. And we exist, this station exists based upon the public contribution, gifts, donations to this station. So please do the best you can. Here's the website, if you would, www.klw.org. I'd like you to know that there are two books. One is California Tenants' Rights. If you would like that, you need to pledge $120 to this station by going to the website, www.klw.org. There's another book I was promoting last week, and I will do it now, Your Rights in the Workplace. Both are NOLO publications. I'm a great believer in NOLO. NOLO, by the way, is not a funder of this program, never has been. It produces wonderful legal books. If you would like both the Your Rights in the Workplace and the California Tenants' Rights book, if you will pledge $180, you'll get both of them. What I'd like you to do, when you go to the website, www.klw.org, in the comment area, say which book you would like. If you only want one, say what it is. If you only want one, the pledge needs to be $120. If you would like both, it's $180. Please let us know. Joanne, what other comments do you have? Because we're going to go back on the program very quickly.
Well, very quickly, we have a goal of 15 for this hour of Your Legal Rights. That's 15 of you calling in at 800-525-9917 or going online, making your contribution at klw.org, klw.org. And to give us all a little incentive for contributing, Ryan LaRosa from San Francisco is putting up a challenge of $365. And that means that if we can get our 15 calls and clicks by the end of Your Legal Rights, Ryan will add another $365. So please help us out, 800-525-9917. We're in the last 24 hours of the KALW Spring Membership Campaign. This is the last time we're going to be asking for your contributions of financial support during Your Legal Rights. So show your support and appreciation for Chuck Finney, who's been hosting this program for over 30 years now. 800-525-9917 or online klw.org.
And Ryan, I want to thank you very much for putting up $365 as a matching contest for those of us or those of the listeners who are listening, and I appreciate your support of this program, Ryan LaRosa. What I want to say to you further is that it's your support. If you are not currently, let's say, a member or participant at KALW, your support is what makes this local public radio station strong. It's not corporate money. It's not federal money. It's not city money. It's you. So if you believe that this station is providing the kind of service that gives you a really good feeling about public radio, please support this station. Please give the maximum you can. And if you would like one or both of these books, Your Rights in the Workplace or California Tenants' Rights, if you only want one, go to the website. Let us know which one you would like. Put in the comment. And if you only want one, pledge $120. If you want both, and both of them are incredible. Your Rights in the Workplace is about 500 pages. California Tenants' Rights is a little over 400 pages. If you want both, put in a comment. You want both, and pledge $180. Do the best you can, the maximum. And if you want, if you do make a contribution, you will be invited to KLW's party on June 11th. So there we are. Let's go back on the program, shall we, Joanne? All right. Everybody, we are doing our Call a Lawyer special mini Call a Lawyer night, landlord-tenant only. So if you're a tenant or a landlord, we have three attorneys. I'm going to let you know who they are. These are people who have been very much involved with this program before and are great supporters of public radio. Sal Timpano, Tad Devlin, and Jessica Chilik. They're there, ready, willing, and able to take your call. We will do, by the way, our regular Call a Lawyer night on May 28th, so don't worry about that. If you want to talk with my guests on the air, Mark Seidenfeld and Charles Collins, that number 1415-841-4134, 1415-841-4134. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. For a referral to a lawyer, you can call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. Another funder of this particular program is the San Mateo County Bar Association, which also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours, 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone who's experienced in the area and set you up for a half an hour consultation with the attorney. In most counties throughout California, for a half an hour, the cost will be either $25 to $35. It's an outstanding way for you to get some information and some education in terms of what your rights and obligations may be. So let's see. We have at this point, Susan, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I'm an appraiser in Berkeley, and I remember when the Ellis Act was passed. And can you hear me?
No, sure.
Now, at that time, I recall there was a period of time after a landlord declared an Ellis eviction and vacancy of the building of 9 to 11 years that they could not do anything other than rent the units for the price that they were rented at. Is anyone else familiar with that?
Well, stay with us. Go ahead, Mark.
There was a rule that the building could not be rented out again as residences for, I think it was 10 years.
Yes.
But I think that's been changed now. I think it's 5 years now.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
Five-year period.
Yeah.
So all these evictions in San Francisco, particularly that we're hearing about, they sound like they're happening immediately, but are you saying there's a five-year
That they can't rent it out, but that doesn't mean they can't sell it, tear down the building, put up a new one with condos in it, things like that. In other words,
would it require tearing down the building or selling tenants in common?
No, it is no requirement that the building be torn down. But the purpose of this new law in San Francisco is to make it more difficult for landlords to remove rental units from the market by making it cost much more money than it did before.
But previously, if you did an Ellis Act, you could not sell the units out individually as tenants in common.
No, that's not true. My understanding was you could not rent them as residences.
But you could sell them immediately.
Well, I don't know, but I'm not aware of any prohibition on that.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
All right, Jennifer. Thank you very much for calling. All right, 1-415-841-4134 if you'd like to speak to my guests on the air. If you want to speak to our attorneys for our special mini Call a Lawyer night, our celebrating the public radio party of KLW and your legal rights, that's 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. And we have Tess. Tess, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. I have a question that's actually after the fact, but it might be informative for other people. My family members, siblings, inherited a house when my grandmother died. It was built in about 1930. And then we wanted to sell it when the market was doing well. We had a tenant there who, and this is a single home. We had a tenant there who was on a year-to-year lease, and they were looking for a house and said that they had found one. They didn't give us a firm notification, but it's like we're going to be leaving in a few months.
Mm-hmm.
Then that fell through, and then the same thing came up again. The next year, they actually bought a house. They were doing work on it and told us, and then they decided it was too expensive and sold it to the person who was doing the renovations. So we had this house supposedly going to be sold, but it took 2.5 years when the markets, and we sold it during when it tanked. Now, during that time, we were told that you could not, it was under the table if you were going to offer someone to buy them out of the house. And it was illegal. And then I keep hearing now that people are buying tenants out. Now, I understand that that's in an apartment building or a condo, and this is a single dwelling. So,
Tess, let me ask you, where is the dwelling? What city?
In San Francisco.
It is in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Let me get some comments from Mark. Stay on the line, Tess. What comments do you have for her so far?
Tess, it used to be, it probably still is, a lot of tenant advocates argued that it is that it was illegal because it violated public policy to try and buy out a tenant, because the rent ordinance says you cannot evict a tenant or cause a tenant to be removed other than through one of the specified reasons in the rent ordinance. However, the courts have ruled that it is unconstitutional infringement on the freedom of speech of landlords and tenants both to say that the parties can't negotiate. So the way it is right now, I can't speak about how it was whenever this all happened, but right now it is very common landlords and tenants do talk to each other and tenants do agree to be bought out.
So can I ask when this bill or whatever it was, this agreement got passed?
It wasn't an agreement. It was a court case, and I can't tell you exactly when it was, but it's been several years. Okay. I know that.
Yeah, I'm familiar that there has been. I mean, I've been involved in a couple of such transactions in recent years, and this has become quite common for landlords to buy out their tenants, and it's perfectly acceptable. And they have procedures for doing this within the law.
Okay. This was about 4 years ago, so it wasn't that long ago. But
yeah.
Tess, let me ask you this. Do you and your family members still have this home?
We do not.
You do not. So you sold it.
We sold it at a very low price.
So in other words, because of these tenants who kept the teeter-totter rolling on you, messed you up in taking advantage of a high price if you had sold it. Is that right?
That's right.
Too bad. Yeah. Too bad. Well, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your calling.
Okay.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, Lydia, you're back. What can we do?
Hey,
So I, where I was, I signed this lease in October, but they did not sign the lease. And now they're claiming that they don't need to buy me out like they did my neighbors, even though I was supposed to have 2 months on that lease, the lease amendment that they wrote up. And I was in there for just a year thinking I was making an investment in my business and losing out on that, not being there long enough. I'm greatly in debt in order to get my 60 days notice. In order to get out in time, I'm actually having to double down to my tenants that I signed contracts with. And I was just wondering, do I have grounds to go after them for our agreement, even if they didn't technically sign it? And
Lydia, this is a very you've got a very complicated situation. This is not something simple that can be handled on the program. But I'll have both of my guests want to respond to you.
Lydia, I would just say that the landlord has no obligation to buy you out at all, unless he's actually evicting you under circumstances that the law requires he pay you a relocation expense. So, other than that, I'm not sure what else to tell you.
Charles, did you have any comments?
No,
closer to the mic.
No, not actually. It's a very complex situation, but
Lydia,
nothing I can tell her to make her.
Lydia, have you yet talked with privately, face to face, with an attorney?
Yes, I have.
You have or have not?
Yes, I have. I've asked a few people this question. I'm getting a lot of mixed reviews, which is part of the reason why I called in, because I knew there were...
I'm talking privately. Have you gone, for example...
Yes.
No, listen to me, Lydia, please. Have you gone to the lawyer referral service and said, I'd like to sit down with an attorney who does landlord-tenant law? Have you done that?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. But you're not happy with what the story was from the attorney. Is that right?
It's not that I was unsatisfied. I just want multiple perspectives. She told me I had a case,
okay,
and that I should go after it. She advised me to go, if I needed to, into small claims. I had another attorney say that they would laugh at me if I tried to go after them for small claims.
Okay, Mark has another comment.
Lydia,
for you.
It's not a bad idea in a case like this, if you have any doubts about what you were told by the attorney, to consult at least another attorney. And there are a lot of attorneys in San Francisco that specialize in representing tenants. And if you go back to the Bar Association's lawyer referral service, they will give you the names of multiple attorneys that deal with this. Talk to a couple of them. You have nothing to lose other than $25 half-hour consultation fee.
Yeah. Did you get the phone number for the San Francisco lawyer referral number?
I did. Thank you.
Okay. I think that's what you need to do, Lydia. Certainly, if you like, you certainly can speak to any one of the three attorneys who are here, landlord-tenant attorneys, if you'll call 1-800-525-9917. But it seems to me to be really fair to you and for you to be really objective is that you need to sit down with another attorney face-to-face for at least half an hour, pay a referral fee, whether it's $25 or $35, and try to get another perspective from another attorney who does landlord-tenant law. So good luck to you.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. 1-800-525-9917 for our mini Call a Lawyer night as we are celebrating KLW's public radio party on your legal rights. And my guests are dancing in the studio here. They're having so much fun.
Where's the champagne?
Where is the champagne? Yeah. And by the way, let's see if you'd like to call on the program, 415-841-4134. My guests are Mark Seidenfeld and Charles Collins. They're very experienced landlord-tenant attorneys. Mark has his office in San Bruno. Charles has his office in San Francisco. Apparently, a number of years ago, they shared office space in San Francisco.
Yes, many years ago.
Many years ago. So they're guys who know an awful lot. All right, Steve, welcome to Your Legal Rights. Steve, are you there? Oh, my goodness. Steve, don't hang up on us. Be patient, would you? And we'll get to you if you'll just be patient. All right. Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve. You're on the air.
All right. Thanks so much for taking this call.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm at a loss of what to do. Yeah. I am a person that lives in a residential neighborhood. Our neighbor were some elderly people. They had both passed away, and when the last one passed away, he gave the house to his daughter and husband, and who are renting it out now. They don't live in the neighborhood or the area, but they have rented it out to somebody who is just making a lot of noise. He might have a condition or something, and so our quiet residential neighborhood has turned into not so peaceful.
But Steve,
so
Steve,
what
Steve,
my rights are.
Steve, have you called the police?
I haven't.
Why not?
Well, because there are other tenants on the property too, and
Wait a minute. Slow down, Steve. Slow down. When you say other tenants on the property, do you mean the adjoining property that's the problem?
No, on the same property. Yeah, there are a couple of units there, and you know, I just was at a loss as to what to do when all this, you know, when this person is carrying on. So,
what are they doing? What's all the noise from?
Well, it could be.
Are you there?
He comes home and he starts yelling and, you know, making obscenities.
Oh, really?
And I talked to the back behind.
You know, there's something wrong with your phone, Steve. You keep cutting out. Turn your radio on. Back on, hang up, because there's something wrong with your phone, unfortunately. We'll get some comments for you in terms of what you might do. Mark, would you start?
I think the thing to do, Steve, is to notify the owner of that property that rented to these people. They may not be aware of the problem.
Yeah.
Even if they are, I would put it in writing to them and create a record, because you may very well have a remedy against them for disturbing the peace.
Against the owner of the property?
Against the owner of the property. If they're aware of a nuisance, they have some obligation, I would think, to try to do something about it.
Sure.
They may not be able to, but at least they need to be aware of what's going on. It is also possible you may have a cause of action against the neighbor who's disturbing you in small claims court.
Sure, sure. Charles?
I do recall many, many years ago, we're talking decades ago, where there was a case where there was a nuisance involved. It might have been involved the city housing project or something like that, and there are lots of people hanging around causing problems. So the surrounding property owners brought, you know, the city into small claims court, and each sued them for maintaining a nuisance on the property. The owner could be sued for maintaining a nuisance on the property by having entertained, you know, tenants who are, you know, causing major problems, interfering with the safety, the comfort, and the enjoyment of the neighbors and their own property.
Yeah. But there is a need to create a record. So you really should notify the owners of the property and, you know, let them know that there's a problem. And if they don't respond at all, then you really should sit down and talk to a lawyer.
Steve was reluctant when I said, have you called the police about doing that? Mark, what comments do you have about that?
Well, you know,
you seem to be reluctant also.
How do I say this?
Yes, please.
The police in San Francisco get a lot of calls like this.
Okay.
And typically, my understanding from what I've seen is they don't do much about it.
Okay.
They may make a report, which could be useful if the matter ever went to court.
Yeah.
The actual police report isn't admissible, but you might be able to subpoena an officer, things like that. I think you're better off pursuing it through the owner of the property.
All right. And also, Steve, I think it's very important for you at this point. You know, you may not be familiar with me, but I've been a consumer advocate for a long time, a deputy DA, San Mateo County, and consumer protection. And I frankly feel it's very important for you to take advantage of sitting down with an attorney who's experienced in this area of landlord-tenant law and discuss this so that you have some kind of a plan in terms or some kind of indication of what you can do. I mean, I designed this program to try to help people avoid problems or self-help, but it is not a magic wand. You can't solve a problem merely by calling on your legal rights. We can try to give you.
I wish we could.
But we're trying to give you some direction. And Steve, I highly recommend to you, if you have not done it yet, that you call lawyer referral and make an appointment to meet with an attorney and be willing to pay $35 for a half an hour consultation. Does that sound reasonable to you? I guess he's gone. All right.
You told him to turn off his phone.
Yeah, that's right. I did, didn't I? Thank you. Steve, good luck to you, really. I think we have one more person there. By the way, again, no, we don't. Okay. It's our Call a Lawyer night. We have three people who I'm very pleased to have joined us, very gracious of them, landlord-tenant attorneys. This is what they practice exclusively in San Francisco. Sal Timpano has done this over the years a number of times. He's been a guest on my program. Tad Devlin has done this before, and Jessica Chilek has also done Call a Lawyer Night a number of times. These are very experienced landlord-tenant attorneys. Give them a call if you want to talk with them off the air, 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. And, gentlemen, we have about 3 or 4 minutes left. I want to let the listeners know that you still have time to talk to my guests on the air, 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. If you're a landlord or a tenant, I invite either of you or both of you to call. If you're both in the same place, call on the same line and talk with my guests before the program ends. Don't wait another 3 minutes because that'll be just about the end of the program. And let me just tell you, in case you're interested, although we're doing this mini special celebration, public radio party celebration of landlord-tenant Call a Lawyer Night. Our regular Call a Lawyer Night will be in 2 weeks on May 28th. We will have on the air employment law as the topic. So I hope you join us then. That's the same magic number, 1-800-525-9917. All right, we've got a couple of people who would like to talk to you. As soon as we find out who they are, that would be great. I am a great believer, everybody, in you taking the initiative to be a good consumer. And to me, that means at least being willing to spend $35 to meet with an attorney, whatever the issue may be, by calling your lawyer referral service, whether it's San Francisco or San Mateo or Alameda County or Contra Costa County or wherever you may be. It's very important that you do this. You take the initiative to do it because hopefully it will make a difference. Martin, do we have someone we can get on the air right now? Because we're really getting awful close to the end of the program here. And we have Joey. Joey, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Go ahead.
Our landlord, I live in Berkeley in a single-family home, and our landlord told us they were not going to renew the lease this month, and the lease is up at the end of this month.
How long was the lease?
The lease was for a year.
Okay, all right.
And I went to the rent board in Berkeley, and they said that the lease defaults to a month-to-month agreement.
Yeah.
And the problem I have is that this lease, it doesn't allow subletting, and we have people that want to move out of the house, but some people want to stay, and we want to find new people to move in, but the landlord just wants us out. So we negotiated and said that she said that she would let us stay for one more month. And I was just calling to find out what my legal rights were.
Are you covered? Does Berkeley have a rent ordinance?
Yes, but it's limited in that it doesn't apply to single-family
fully. It does not apply to you. Okay, Mark has a comment for you.
Sure. Have they served you with a notice that you have to move?
What's that?
Have they actually served you with a notice saying you have to move?
No, that's the weird thing.
Stop right there. Unless they serve you with a notice, they can't evict you, okay? I mean, the law in California, even in Berkeley, I know Berkeley is special, but nevertheless, they have to serve you with a notice. Typically, it's a 30-day notice if it's a no-fault eviction. And if you've been there for more than a year, then it has to be a 60-day notice.
We haven't been there for more than a year.
Joey,
but you have a lease.
Here's another thought for you, Joey, because this is obviously very significant, and it involves apparently other people. I suggest that you contact the Lawyer Referral Service for Alameda County Bar. And here, I'm going to give you the phone number. Please write it down. Call them as soon as you can during a normal business day and see if you can't get an appointment with an attorney who represents tenants. Here's the number for the Alameda County Bar Association, and ask for lawyer referral, 510-302-2222. 510-302-2222. Good luck to you, Joey. Thanks very, very much for calling, and please call the Bar Association. You'll be doing yourself a great favor. Gentlemen, we've come to the end of the program. I want to thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
You're wonderful. As always, the stars of your legal rights, Mark Seidenfeld and Charles Cullen, a new star on your legal rights.
So.
Thank you both very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Your legal rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr, production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for your legal rights, this particular segment, has been made possible by the lawyer referral segment, by the lawyer referral service, pardon me, of the Bar Association of San Francisco and by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding for this program has been made possible by the Family Law Section of the State Bar, the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, and the California Applicants Attorneys Association. Next week, I'd like you to join us if you're up, if you'd like an update on scams and things that you should be looking out for. Join me. My guest will be Joe Rideout, Manager of Consumer Services for Consumer Action, the National Consumer Advocacy and Educational Organization, which is a nonprofit organization. That's next week. Scams, what we need to look out for. Thanks for listening to Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney.